After days of uncertainty, the Security Council renewed permission for humanitarian aid to flow from Turkey into Syria, but for just 6 months. It was deeply controversial. The UK, France and the US abstained. A resolution with a 12-month timeline, which is what the UN and aid agencies requested, was defeated on Friday when Russia used its veto.
The vote we took this morning is what happens when one council member takes the entire Security Council hostage, with the lives of Syrian men, women and children hanging in the balance.
The resolution that was finally passed was very similar to the one Russia had itself proposed on Friday. Then 13 out of 15 council members had voted against it. Norway and Ireland introduced the new version.
Look, first of all, this was not a decision taken on the basis of a Russian draft today. This was a co-pen holder, Russia, Ireland and Norway draft.
It's just a few words different.
I think on the face of it, you may look at that and say that, James, but you know that the devil is in the detail. And I think if you look at the text, there are significant differences.
What is different is a clause requiring the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, to provide a report on the aid situation by December. He gave me his reaction to the new resolution.
We have been asking for the renewal of that cross-border point, as it is essential for the people in Idlib. It's a matter of life and death for many of them. We have asked for a renewal of 1 year. The Security Council approved 6 months. But I strongly hope that after these 6 months, it will be renewed.
The head of the human rights group Amnesty International says the events of recent days show the work of the Security Council is now virtually paralysed.
We do need a different system. The Security Council has run, as is clearly demonstrating that it has run the end of its path right now. Something else needs to come up.
With just a six-month extension, members of the Security Council will have to renegotiate humanitarian aid in Syria in January. That's a time of year when conditions are particularly tough for people in northern Syria because of the harsh wintry weather. James Bayes, Al Jazeera at the United Nations.
Well, Senem Kasavoglu has just returned from the Turkey-Syria border. She says NGOs working there believe the veto power of the Security Council remains a threat to the delivery of aid.
Extending the UN humanitarian aid delivery to northern Syria for 6 more months may ease the tension for now, but it is not seen as a solution. International and local NGOs have already been warning that planning and implementing such a wide-scale operation into northwestern Syria, where 4.5 million civilians reside, requires longer than 6 months' time. There are 4.4 million civilians just in Idlib. And among all of them, 2.4 million of them depend on international humanitarian aid. That's why they say 6 months' time will not be a solution to their problems, as the children in Idlib are facing a big risk of hunger and they are already undernourished. And the majority of the population are children and women, which is seen as the vulnerable segment of the society. Some of the NGOs already started showing their reaction, saying that world is just watching what's going on in Idlib. And some of them say that humanitarian actions should be taken away from UN Security Council, as Russia's veto is always a threat for the civilians. An alternative B plan must be established, and local grassroots NGOs inside Syria must be empowered.
Let's speak to Matthew Mbriza, who's a board member of Jamestown Foundation and a former American diplomat. He's joining us from Kakao. Welcome to Al Jazeera once again. So what is your reaction to this resolution that has now passed that allows cross-border aid deliveries into Syria and to the rebel-held region for 6 months as opposed to a year?
Well, my first reaction is thank goodness. Second reaction is, yeah, Russia won this round of diplomacy. Not that it really matters who won or lost, but, you know, Russia instrumentalizes the rest of the world's desire to do humanitarian good. And in this case, it got a second bite and a third bite at the apple by now only having a six-month renewal, so that 6 months from now, Russia can try to extract something else from the international community when the rest of us are totally desperate in winter to get that such badly needed humanitarian aid to those people in northwest Syria.
But were there any major differences in the resolution that Russia had put forward just a few days ago, in which a lot of countries were against, and then there comes this one, and it passed? I mean, we heard from our reporter, James Bays, at the UN, questioning the diplomats, saying, well, there isn't that much difference in the resolution, so why did it pass now?
Yeah, Doreen, I think James Bays got it exactly right. Russia was playing a game of chicken with the international community. It knew that it could force through its draft. And the draft that it wants basically to make it more difficult for humanitarian assistance to get into northwest Syria without the help of the Assad regime. And so it passed now because the rest of the world realized we have to get this aid to the people who are suffering in northwest Syria. So the rest of the world blinked. And that really meant, you know, the United States, United Kingdom, and France on the Security Council. It's a brutal tactic by Russia. And I experienced it when I was still with the U.S. government. Every year we had to renew a U.N. peacekeeping operation in Georgia, after which or during which Russia invaded and occupied northwest Georgia. And Russia prevented the provision of humanitarian assistance to Georgians in the areas that Russia had invaded and occupied as a negotiating tool, just like it's doing right now.
Let me just play devil's advocate for a moment. I mean, Russia says that it wants to see the aid come through Damascus, as you just said, also through the government in Damascus. And it insists that, you know, this route violates Syrian sovereignty. Does Russia not have a point?
Russia definitely has a point there. And the difference is that the rest of us, at least on the Security Council, consider humanitarian aid an end in itself, something that should not be politicized, something that should not be used as a way to shape the politics on the ground. But having said that, I mean, going back to the Georgia example, we much preferred, meaning we being the Security Council permanent representatives, the United States, France, and the UK, that assistance would have come from the Georgian government to the separatist regions rather than from, in that case, Russia. So, yeah, Russia has a point, but it also has a different philosophy. It's perfectly willing to instrumentalize the humanitarian suffering to secure its political objectives.
Let me just ask you, just to give us your thoughts on the divisions amongst the members of the Security Council, and particularly, I mean, there have always been divisions, as we know, but particularly these days in the wake of course, the war taking place in Ukraine. I mean, how would you describe relations among Security Council members right now at present?
Yeah, poisonous as with regard to Russia versus, again, the permanent members from the West, UK, France, and the United States. And it's interesting that, by the way, China abstained on the resolution a couple of days ago that Russia vetoed. So, yeah, and China, of course, is a member of the P5. China realizes that it's not doing itself any favors if it, too, like Russia, tries to instrumentalize humanitarian assistance. So, yeah, relations are really bad in the Security Council. And, you know, as the French representative was saying in your package, the Security Council mechanism really is broken. It doesn't work now when you've got Russia willing to veto anything that France, the UK, and the US want, and vice versa.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, Matthew Breiser, for speaking to us from Krakow. Thank you.